This Week in Agriculture, a production of the Red River Farm Network. With your look at the markets, I'm Tyler Donaldson. A recent surge in U.S. soybean shipments to China is helping support export demand, even as uncertainty builds around future trade talks. Increased volumes are moving to China as previously booked sales are filled, reinforcing the importance of that market for U.S. growers. However, questions remain about long-term demand as delays in potential summit between U.S. and Chinese leaders create uncertainty around trade policy. Analysts say that uncertainty could pressure soybean prices and play a key role in farmer marketing decisions moving forward. Midwest Market Solutions analyst Brian Hoop says grains markets locked in with the energy markets as the Iran conflict continues.
We got the crude oil being down so sharply is certainly impacting what's happening with the grains, particularly corn. Corn really seems to follow what crude oil is doing, and it makes sense because we're going to use so much energy in the form of fertilizers and fuel this year. Corn is going to have a really direct impact on what happens with the energy markets. So if we have lower crude oil prices, in theory, we could have lower fertilizer costs, which would mean more corn acres. And that's why we're seeing corn lower. And if we have lower fertilizer costs, more corn acres, we might have less soybean acres. So it makes sense soybeans are rallying.
U.S. dairy leaders are closely watching upcoming negotiations on the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement. With a formal review set to begin July 1st, the National Milk Producers Federation says the trade deal is critical to maintaining strong export markets. Director of Trade Policy Tony Rice says Mexico and Canada remain the top two export markets for U.S. dairy.
Last year, we exported around $4 billion in dairy products, whether it was fluid milk or cheese or whey products or dry ingredients, to those two markets. They're number one and two, respectively, with Mexico and Canada. And the USMCA agreement has brought a tremendous number of benefits in growing our exports to particularly Mexico and simultaneously to Canada and servicing the demand in those two markets. The tariff-free access that we get into Mexico is invaluable to us, and preservation of that tariff-free access is key as we begin this review process that formally begins July 1, 2026.
Rice says while the industry supports USMCA, there are concerns about how Canada has implemented parts of the agreement.
Canada made several commitments that they frankly haven't fulfilled since the implementation. So there are two components, the first of which was on market access. And on paper, Canada committed to expanding their tariff rate quotas for a series of dairy quotas for U.S. dairy exports. But in practice, what we've seen is inability for our exporters to actually meet the demand in Canada and fill those quotas. We're not trying to crack open the market further. It's more so making sure we get the access that was already negotiated in the USMCA agreement.
Rice says ensuring fair access to Canadian markets will be a top priority as negotiations move forward. Argentina is moving grain to overseas buyers at a strong pace this season. Record sunflower exports and booming corn sales are helping push one of the country's biggest harvests in years onto the world market. Rosario Grain Exchange says shipments are moving well, even with Middle East tensions adding volatility to global prices and increasing freight costs. Argentina is benefiting from record corn and wheat production and its best sunflower harvest of the 21st century. Sunflower oil exports are off to their strongest start to a marketing year since 2005, while raw sunflower seed shipments reached record first quarter levels. Corn exports are also gaining momentum, with the new export season expected to top 4 million metric tons. That advantage may narrow later this year as Brazil's second corn crop begins reaching global buyers. USDA released their quarterly hogs and pigs report here this week as well. Overall, the report was neutral, putting little influence onto the market. Hogs and pigs on March 1st were up slightly. Kept for breeding was lower than the average trade expectations at 99%, with trade looking for 99.8%. It's been a look at the markets this week in agriculture here on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Tyler Donaldson. With your look at the news this week in agriculture here on the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson. The International Grains Council is warning a prolonged conflict involving Iran could disrupt global agriculture. The group says shipping issues through the Strait of Hormuz are already driving up fertilizer and fuel prices, raising concerns about supply chains heading into the growing season. The council says an extended disruption could impact planting decisions, particularly in regions such as Asia and Africa that rely heavily on Gulf fertilizer supplies. It also points to food security risks in the Persian Gulf, where countries depend on imports. Globally, grain production is expected to decline slightly while demand continues to rise, tightening stocks and adding further pressure to markets. The USDA says updated product of USA labeling rules are designed to give consumers clear information about where their meat comes from. USDA Undersecretary for Food Safety Mindy Brashears explains the updated definition.
Through a lot of research and the whole rulemaking process, we actually changed that to be more transparent to the consumer. So now if something says product of the USA, that means that animal was born, raised, harvested, and processed in the U.S.
The updated rule took effect January 1st and clarifies what qualifies for a product of the USA label. USDA says the new definition is intended to improve transparency and better align labeling with consumer expectations. Federal farm support programs are becoming increasingly important as producers deal with high input costs and weak commodity prices. USDA programs, including income support and disaster assistance, are providing a financial backstop for many farmers facing tight margins. Enrollment in these programs remains strong, reflecting continued stress across the ag economy. Industry groups say rising fertilizer and fuel costs have made federal support essential, while some policymakers question whether current programs go far enough as work continues on the next farm bill. And President Donald Trump is backing away from a threat to strike Iran's energy infrastructure, a move that appears tied to rising economic pressure. The decision came ahead of Monday's market open after surging oil prices and a global sell-off highlighted the risks of further escalation. Markets reacted quickly, oil prices dropped sharply while U.S. equities surged, and the Dow gained more than 1,000 points. Trump says there is a very serious chance for diplomacy and indicated the U.S. is in talks with high-level Iranian representatives. However, uncertainty remains. Iran denies meaningful negotiations are happening and claims its own threats forced the U.S. to pause. Trump says planned strikes are on hold for 5 days, depending on progress in talks, but warned military action could resume if negotiations fail. The Environmental Protection Agency is issuing an emergency fuel waiver allowing E15 to be sold nationwide during the summer driving season. The move also allows E10 to exceed standard volatility limits, creating more consistent fuel rules across the country as gasoline prices rise amid Middle East tensions. American Coalition for Ethanol CEO Brian Jennings says the waiver comes at a critical time, noting fuel markets have been disrupted by the conflict involving Iran and instability in the Strait of Hormuz. Jennings says expanded access to E15 can help lower consumer costs and reduce exposure to global oil price swings. However, ethanol supporters say the waiver is only a temporary fix. At his Ag Celebration event at the White House on Friday, President Donald Trump unveiled a plan to support farmers by cutting equipment regulations, expanding loan guarantees, and boosting biofuel mandates, while also aiming to offset rising fuel and fertilizer costs ahead of the planting season. The proposal, partly driven by supply disruptions from the Iran conflict, includes higher renewable fuel targets and regulatory changes, but many measures are still pending approval, leaving uncertainty about how quickly farmers will see relief. Trump administration also finalizing U.S. biofuel mandates, setting 2026 requirements at 26.81 billion RINs and 2027 at 27.02 billion, while requiring large refiners to cover 70% of waived volumes. Been a look at the news this week in agriculture here on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Tyler Donaldson. With your look at the weather this week in agriculture here on the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson. Massive wildfires in Nebraska are threatening to slow efforts to rebuild the U.S. cattle herd. High winds have fueled fires that burned about 775,000 acres of pasture, eliminating a key feed source for tens of thousands of cattle in one of the nation's top beef-producing states. Industry leaders say the loss of grazing land adds to ongoing challenges, including drought and high production costs, which have already pushed cattle inventories to multi-decade lows. Ranchers may need to relocate cattle, rely on higher-cost feed, or scale back herd sizes, potentially tightening beef supplies and delaying herd recovery. World weather reporting earlier in the week, the Midwest, dryness throughout much of the Midwest, temperatures ranging from the 30s to the 70s. That was depending on location. Things did warm up and dry a bit here throughout the Midwest, with weather persisting, through the weekend. Brief cooling Thursday into Friday, though, in parts, followed by widespread precipitation that did hit some areas there through Friday. Monday into early April, April should help replenish soil moisture here with more wet weather on the way, but may delay early planting if heavy rain develops. Temperatures expected to fluctuate, but trend warmer than normal overall through the weekend with a brief cool spell moving from the northwest across the Midwest late week before warming again early next week. In South America, world weather reporting rainfall through across much of Brazil here throughout much of the week, totaling up to 2 1/85 inches in some areas. In Paraguay, mostly dry weather there, temperatures ranging as high as the 90s. Additional rain is expected or additional rain did come through rather here later in the week, benefiting Safrina corn. Drier pattern is expected to settle in through much of Brazil here through early April. Another possible rain event, though, could arrive in that April 5th through the 8th range. Northern Brazil will remain wetter overall, while central and southern areas may see increasing crop stress if rains do not return. In Argentina, conditions were largely favorable with limited rain earlier in the week. More widespread precipitation expected here over the next 2 weeks, though, including heavier rain in southern and central regions that should support crops but may slow field work. USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey says drought conditions in the southeast and Midwest have put more pressure on the winter wheat crop.
They're also dealing with significant soil moisture shortages. That's tough for germinating crops, and we're still seeing a pretty broad area across the south dealing with lack of surface water, whether it's from creeks and streams or from farm ponds. So kind of a mess across the south related to temperature extremes and drought, seeing a lot of reports of problems with winter wheat and pastures and rangeland across that region, just dealing recently with the huge wildfires in Nebraska and neighboring states as well.
The spring migration season is increasing the risk of highly pathogenic avian influenza, and USDA officials are urging farmers to stay alert. USDA Undersecretary for Marketing and Regulatory Programs Dudley Hoskins says strong biosecurity is critical to prevent the spread of the disease.
We're asking all of our producer partners, whether it's layers or broilers or turkey or dairy or any other adjacent production system, please be vigilant. We need sound biosecurity practices. It's not just what's happening on that one facility. There's risk of lateral transmissions.
The H5N1 strain is circulating in wild birds worldwide and continues to impact U.S. poultry and dairy operations.
We have a number of different tools, wildlife biosecurity assessments, different audits we can help them with. Some of those are voluntary. We have different resources available to producers if they want to mitigate or address some of the biosecurity vulnerabilities. So please go to the APHIS website, look up those resources, tell us what we can do to be helpful to you, but biosecurity is paramount.
That's been your look at the weather this week in agriculture here on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Tyler Donaldson.